Yes, I was in Damascus. It's a while ago now, over a year ago, but Throker works in Syria and have done for the last 6 or 7 years since the conflict began. We work with local partner organizations, mostly through the Caritas network, which is part of the Catholic International Catholic Network. Conditions when I was there, it was very difficult for many people who were at this stage trying to live through a conflict and had somehow gotten used to many parts of the conflict, but were in very desperate conditions themselves. For example, I met one family who were a family who had come from rural Syria. They had tried to stay away from the conflict and tried to ignore it as much as possible. And when it started and the protest started 7 or 8 years ago, they themselves had not got involved and had tried to ignore it and live their own lives, as it were, until eventually it came to their doorstep. And yeah, they were no longer secured and they had to move. But at that stage, they had spent all of their money and spent all of their resources and everything to outlive the conflict, if you like. And now they were, from reasonably well-to-do family, they were now living in a shell of a room in Damascus, depending on handouts from Throker, from Caritas and others, while the father, who was a proud farmer himself, who was now working in the local market trying to make ends meet. And while I was talking to him for a couple of hours and talking to the family, you could hear some of the bombings going off in the background. We were in one of the suburbs of Damascus, and the first one that went off, I was getting up to leave. I was going very, very quickly, but they didn't bat an eyelid. At this stage, they'd gotten used to it. And for them, they had 7 children in their family. And as many people can imagine, it's not a good environment where you have to be displaced to begin with. But then you're used to bombs going off in the background. Not good.
And like you say, they heard about the conflict, but they were in no way involved in the conflict. But what was their understanding of the conflict? And did they think that it might just have blown over, or it might have been resolved before it ever reached them?
Yeah, very much so. They had read about it in the newspapers and what have you. And when it started and the protest started 7 or 8 years ago, they could understand it from a political perspective that there were different groups that wanted to address issues. And sure, there were issues, many human rights issues in Syria before that needed to be addressed. And, you know, many of those starting off initially in the protest had objectives along those lines. Arguably, they were legitimate. But this family, they weren't involved in that perspective. And many people didn't engage in that way originally. But it's just that the context caught up with them then. The conflict changed, and it turned from a peaceful protest several years ago now into the conflict that it is. And now it's a mess, I suppose, in terms of the number of different organizations or groups or foreign actors or local actors, or there are so many different groups, it's very, very difficult to kind of keep track about who's fighting who. So that's very difficult, and it's the ordinary civilian, the ordinary family who are trying to send their children to school and trying to put food on the table. They're the ones who are really the worst affected by it, and often they're the ones who don't have a political cause. And many people, they talk about leaving the country, and over half the population, or about half the population of Syria, have left the country over the past 7 or 8 years and gone to be refugees in Lebanon or Turkey or Jordan, and that's where the bulk of refugees have stayed. But even that's, you know, many people inside in Syria know themselves that that's not a solution. That's no refugee ever wants to be a refugee. So that's difficult. And for Throker, those, we're working with refugee communities in Lebanon, for example, and we've been working with them for years now, providing various forms of assistance, from food and shelter and psychosocial care and support for education and things. And we know from talking to them that they want this to be temporary. They want to eventually go home. They want something better. You know, it's many people in Syria before the conflict were, you know, I won't say they were well off, but they were okay. Like, and now they are very living very temporary lives.
That's what I suppose so alarming about it to many people, was that it was a country that was, as you say, I mean, it wasn't the wealthiest country, but it was doing pretty well. Everybody was, you know, who was living there, people had good lifestyles, and it seemed like it was a country on the up.
Yeah, and I suppose that points to how fragile government can be, or governance, or states can be. And maybe it's something to note in terms of engaging and supporting countries while there isn't a conflict going on, and ensuring that those countries are putting in place the best governance structures, or the best form of democracy that they can, and to do that in longer term development work. But in terms of where these people are now, it's really, really difficult for them to, for the average Syrian to, I suppose, see an end to this conflict. It's they went through phases for 2 or 3, 4 years where they thought the international community would engage in the country and facilitate a peace process. Clearly, the warring parties inside in the country couldn't do that themselves, and so it needed international support. But yeah, like, if you look at it from the perspective of the average Syrian now, you'd have to say that they're not getting the level of international support that they need in the country to find a peaceful and lasting solution to it. We've all seen over the last while in terms of the international military engagement, but it's a peaceful solution that's needed, and it's a diplomatic solution that's needed in Syria. And, you know, Ireland is a small player in international terms, but, you know, we can have a big voice as well. And it's important that Ireland is able to voice those things and encourage the European Union. And Throca and our website at the moment are asking people to engage with your local TD and your local politician, to encourage the Irish government, to again encourage the European Union to do more to facilitate the peace process, because there are many people, many groups in Syria who have legitimate concerns, and there are many actors in the Syrian conflict, and there isn't a military solution to this. It has to be brought about by people sitting around the table at some point and discussing it, you know. And so every effort needs to be put in place, put into developing and facilitating a peace process that will lead to a sustainable solution or sustainable peace.
The solution rather seems to be, as you say, military involvement, and we don't hear so much about, well, what could be the peaceful resolutions.
I think there is a United Nations peace process. It's stalled because many of the key actors, I suppose, have refused to engage with it. And so often then the international community has resorted to military engagement. So I think there needs to be an increased and renewed efforts in that peace process. European actors are, you know, and that's where Ireland has influence, needs to redouble our efforts in that peace process, invest in it, and then require that the other actors, be it the Iranians, be it the Russians, be it whoever, the regional powers, the Syrian government, all, like, there's several different actors to it. So they need to be brought to the table and issues addressed through peaceful dialogue. None of these issues are going to be addressed through conflict. And people within Syria themselves, the average civilian, they are the people who are sovereign, if you like, and they need a say and a voice in this process, and it needs to be a Syrian solution as much as possible.
And what sort of solution would the people that you're working with like to see? I mean, obviously everybody would like peace, but is there a favourite political party that they would like to see re-established, or, you know, a connection with the international community that they'd like to see re-established?
No, and they would prefer that the international community didn't get involved in taking sides, if you like, from one political party to the next. What they want is that there is a peace process, and many of the organisations that we have, we've worked with on the ground in Lebanon, for example, and Syrian communities, some of them have been selected to engage and as a consultation group with the UN peace process, and they have come up with lots of very good suggestions of how to, just how to bring people, different parties, to the table, how to hear their concerns, how to encourage them to engage in it. And long term, they want to be able to return. Like, there's in Lebanon, where much of our programming is taking place as well, there are over 1 million Syrians now in Lebanon. That's a quarter of 25% of the Lebanese population, if you like, is now Syrian refugees, which is a huge, huge number. And they would all like to go home. They would all like to go back to Syria, but they want to go back to a democratic Syria. They want to go back to one that's law-abiding. They want to go back and live happy lives where they have lives of opportunity for themselves.
When you mention those figures and when you put it in perspective, that's like the whole of Dublin being somewhere, being in France as refugees or something.
Yeah, it's huge. It's like I travel and spend a lot of time in Lebanon, and yeah, there are whole towns that are just made up of Syrian refugees in the country, and like many of them don't have work. There was a survey done there last year. About 40% of the families have one person who is working part-time, and this is, you know, and so many of them, they're dependent on relief aid, they're dependent on external assistance, and nobody, like, as a refugee and anybody who's you know, if you can imagine that sort of conditions to be living in, that nobody wants to be a refugee. And for Trocra, I suppose our support is very much to try and help people to cope with the conditions that they have at the moment, to try and eke out some sort of a livelihood or means of living for themselves at the moment. And yeah, and to look at the longer term, and they would want to return to the country. And so our role is to push where possible the Irish government or encourage them, and to do elsewhere, to hold all of us to account and say we can do more to encourage a peaceful solution to what is happening in Syria. And that's where, you know, like I was saying in terms of politics in Ireland and politicians, many people are very good in terms of raising it, and the Syria conflict has gotten lots of discussion in Ireland amongst politicians, and the Irish government has done a lot over the last few years in terms of providing humanitarian assistance and also raising the concerns and encouraging the peace process.